We're in this short book in the Old Testament. A lot of people have never even heard a sermon from Haggai, and we're going to do the next, well, these 4 weeks, Pastor Dwayne last week, myself, and then 2 more weeks we're going to be in the book of Haggai. Listen, it's the second shortest book in the Old Testament, and it's only referenced one time in the New Testament, a small book, seemingly insignificant. And little is known even about this prophet named Haggai. And as I was, you know, Pastor Dwayne, want to thank Pastor Dwayne for getting this sermon scheduled together and giving some background information as we get ready to minister. And a couple of weeks ago, as I was looking over it, it's amazing. I thought this, it's amazing how God does great things through small books. That in your life, if something looks small or if something looks insignificant, that's usually when God works miracles. That things that don't look all that extravagant, we're gonna see it today as we talk about the temple and how they felt about the temple. It's amazing how our great God takes small things and glorifies himself. Think about this, he took nothing and made everything. You want to go back to Genesis. God said, let there be, and creation came about because God spoke it into existence. So these small things, even this small book, we believe that God's leading us here as a church so that he can speak to our hearts and instruct us on what he wants us to do and what he wants us to be. Pastor Dwayne shared this last week in terms of the timeline of Haggai, but I got to give a little bit of background information just so you guys know this. The reason why all of this is taking place is because of disobedience. So why is God's people in a place where they're captive? Why are they being subjected to the rule of other nations? Why are they going through this struggling and all of these difficulties? It's because of disobedience. Think about this. But even in the midst of disobedience, God had a plan to bless his people. So in our own lives, think about it. Areas where we may have disobeyed God, and we talked about it last week on how delayed obedience is really disobedience. And so even in areas where there was delayed obedience, we're going to see it with the temple being built today. God still has a way of using those disappointments and even our disobedience for his glory. And he's going to do great things in our lives. But listen, eventually, we have to get to the point where we obey God. He's telling us to do something. He's telling us to go somewhere. He's telling us to minister to somebody. He's telling us to do something that looks totally, totally crazy in our mind or in the minds of others. But when we obey God, he promises to bless if we obey him. And so the reason why we're looking at this timeline is because of disobedience. And so the people of God find themselves in captivity, and then they're freed and they're allowed to go back to their homeland. And whenever they get back to their homeland, they're all excited. And when you look on here, it says how Zerubbabel leads the exiles to Judah in 537, and the temple altar is rebuilt in 536. They're excited. And then it says for 15 years, nothing happened. They're excited. And then 15 years, nothing happened. And this is the second temple. The thing that I'm sure they were saying to themselves was this: the first temple that Solomon built only took 13 years. And 15 years later, nothing has happened, and Solomon's temple was so much bigger, and we have nothing going on here, and we're facing opposition, and people are coming against us. We're aggravated. And so for these 15 years, the temple construction is stopped, and nothing is happening. And then the message comes in 520 BC, and Pastor Dwayne said it last week. Haggai said this: y'all need to consider your ways. Y'all need to look at your lives. Basically, he was saying, y'all need to get it together. Haggai was saying this: your house looks good. Your house has nice panels. Your house is being remodeled. Your house and all of your things are looking good when the temple of God lays in ruins. And so Haggai comes to them in 520 and he talks to them and he tells them to consider your ways and get back to work. And they hear the message from Haggai and they say, yes, we're going to get back to work. And 1 month later, he has to come to them with a second pep talk. Anybody else needs a pep talk every now and then, or is it just Pastor Taylor? Maybe it's just me that I'm excited about doing the Lord's work, or I'm excited about giving to others, or excited about serving, and then I find myself slacking off or not being as devoted to the things of God, and I feel a little touch on my shoulder as the Lord saying, "I told you." Again, my parents were disciplinarians. And so all I needed from my mom and dad was a tap on the shoulder saying, "Didn't I tell you?" Or, "I told you to." And I was a smart kid most of the time. I'd go ahead and do it. And when I didn't do it, they'd enact proper discipline and proper vengeance against me. But God comes to, I say vengeance. I shouldn't have used that word, huh? Harsh word, discipline, discipline. A month later, God has to come to him again and say, "Didn't I tell y'all that y'all needed to build this temple?" And in the encouraging words that God gives them, and that's where we're going to be in Haggai chapter 2, God is really telling them this. He's saying, "Greater is on the way." That's if you're taking notes online or you're taking notes here, the title for the sermon today is "Greater is on the way." In the midst of disobedience, in the midst of your discouragement and not doing what I told you to do, and this 1 month, now you're not building the temple, God says, "Greater is on the way." Look, let me preface this by saying this. I used to go to a church back in the day, and "Greater" was in the name. And whenever they would say "Greater was on the way," people would always get excited about, "Yes, that means I'm going to get a new car, Pastor Taylor." When they'd hear "Greater is on the way," they'd be like, "Yes, that means I'm going to get a new house, Reverend Taylor." At the time, I was Elder Taylor. "Elder Taylor, I'm going to get this." Or, "Yes, that means I'm getting promoted on my job because greater is on the way." And it would always go back in my mind like, the greater ain't about you. The greater, maybe God may use the greater to bless you, but the greater that's on the way that we're going to talk about today is about God's glory. And so in our lives, we have to make sure, and we're going to keep saying it as we minister this word to you guys throughout the book of Haggai, it's not about us getting stuff or us getting our houses remodeled just like the people were doing. The greater that we're looking for is this: I want more of God in my life. I want more of his glory. That's what's on the way. And if God's glory is on the way and I have more of God in my life, then I have the peace to go through whatever comes my way. If God's glory is in my life, God's going to provide whatever I need, even when my finances aren't looking like it's going to be that way. If God's glory is in my life, when I get the bad report from the doctor and they say that my health is going down and that I'm not going to make it, I have God's peace to get through that season because of his glory. That's the greater that we need, because if you don't know it or not, there are millionaires that have all kind of money, but they don't have God's peace. There are people that have houses and cars or fame or athletes that have all of the notoriety and they don't have peace. They have anxiety all the time because they don't have Jesus. We're going to talk about it here. They don't have Jesus in their life, and that's what all of us need. Greater is on the way. So as we talk about this sermon today, God comes to his people in chapter 2 and he says, in spite of you and in spite of what you're doing, greater is on the way. And that's what I want you to remember in your lives as we go through this sermon series, as we go through this message today and throughout this sermon series, that as long as I follow God, greater is on the way. As long as I'm in his will, as long as I'm in his word, as long as I'm staying true to the tenets of the faith, greater is on the way. It's not going to look like everybody, like what everybody says it looks like. You may not have everything that you want at the time, whenever you want it, but if I have God, everything's going to be okay. And so greater is on the way. Listen, if you're in the Pew Bibles, it's going to be on page 812. We're going to turn to Haggai chapter 2, or you can read up here on the screen. But if you want to follow along in the Bibles in front of you, those of you online, if you need a Bible, please let myself or Pastor Dwayne know so that we can get you a copy of God's word. Listen, remember last week in chapter 1, Pastor Dwayne came in and God came to his people and told him to consider your ways and to do what I called you to do. And then he comes around where he says, I'm with you. And they started the work. And then verse 1 says this, on the 21st day of the seventh month, this is 1 month after, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you. That's good words right there, right? That you hear this word, this message coming, and then God says, I'm with you. I'm with you in this situation. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. Verse 5 says, this is what I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your peace and your promises that we find in your word. God, speak to us today as we talk about the greater that is coming. And God, help us to focus on that being you and nothing else in our lives. No material blessings, God, no acclaim from the world. We want more of you. So again, speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. First point in our process of expecting the greater to come about, you got to realize that I didn't say if discouragement comes. I didn't say maybe discouragement will come. I say when discouragement comes, God is there. That when you face that obstacle or that argument or that problem, understand that in the midst of that, God is right there. And so the people of God on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Let me stop and say this. Isn't it good that God comes to us a second time? That the first message came in chapter 1 and God said, get to work. And the people said, yes, we're going to do it. But whenever they stopped doing the work, God didn't give up on his people. He came to them a second time and spoke to the people of God. It reminds me, listen, we're in Haggai now, but next month we're going to be in Jonah. And it reminds me of how the Bible says this. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah and told him, go to Nineveh, this city, and preach against it. And the Bible said that Jonah said, go where? Go to Nineveh, I'm going to go to Tarshish. And Jonah went to Tarshish the exact opposite way. And after he got on a boat and they went through trouble and a fish swallowed him and he found himself in the belly of the whale, the Bible said this, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And when the word of the Lord came to him that time and the fish spit him out, guess where he went to? He went to Nineveh and did what God told him to do. And so God comes to them a second time in the midst of discouragement, in the midst of this situation that they find themselves in. We're excited. We're back in our homeland. We're going to rebuild this temple. Oh, wait, we have opponents against us. We're going to build this temple. Oh, wait, we don't have enough money. We're going to build this temple. I'm having a bad day. I don't want to do it. And God said, get back to work. And so when discouragement comes, you have to understand that the discouragement that's coming is from the enemy trying to stop you from doing what God told you to do. But God comes to us and he says, I'm here with you. I'm in this situation with you. Whenever you're opposed, whenever you're attacked, whenever you're lacking resources, I am right here. Because there were some people that didn't want to see this temple happen. And there were those that were remembering the former temple. And they were like, oh, let's just try everything we can to stop them from doing this. And the people of God found themselves where I'm just not going to do anything because this isn't going to matter. And God says, I am here. And the message to us today, wherever you find yourself, you have to tell yourself, God is with me. That God is with me in this situation where I find myself today, even though I'm discouraged, even though things aren't moving the way I think they should, even though I thought I'd be further along than I am right now, even though I've made mistakes in the past and I wish I wouldn't have made that mistake, God has a way of blessing me even in my mess. Or maybe it's just me, but anybody else had a situation in your life that looked totally messed up, and God has a way of blessing you in the midst of it just because he's faithful. And so as we follow God and as we continue to do his will, when the enemy comes, when Satan comes, when discouragement comes, God is there. On our way to greater glory, we have to realize that God is there, but you also have to understand as we go on that we can't compare today's blessings with the past. What are you talking about, Pastor Taylor? It says this, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? Let's see, let me try to make that more applicable to what's going on right now. It would be like saying, this house that you're in right now, isn't it a nice house? You have air conditioning in your house. You have lights in your house. You have food in your house. I'm providing everything you need in your house. Listen, I gave you this house, all is well. And you're saying, but Lord, my other house was bigger than this house. But Lord, my other car was better than this car that I have. But the other job that I had was better than this job I have. I know you're providing everything I need, God, and you said if I seek first your kingdom that you would give me everything that I need, but I'm comparing it to the things that I had back then. And whenever you're living in a state of comparing what you have right now to what you have back then, that's a thief of joy. That I'm joyful for what God gives to me until I see what John has, and then I want what he has. Or I'm okay with my truck until I see Brother Charles' truck and then I want his truck. Or I'm okay with my house until I see the Gitney's house and now how nice they set everything up for the party. And then I want to raise my house and have underground and all that good stuff too, because I'm not content with what God has for me. Listen, y'all are like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor Taylor. Let's go back to the people of God. Whenever they got out of Egypt and they found themselves in the wilderness, and God said this, I'm going to give you manna from heaven, and I'm going to give you food, and I'm going to give you water from a rock. I'm going to provide everything you need. The clothes on your back aren't even going to wear off. The shoes on your feet, they're not going to wear out. And they said, man, I wish I was in Egypt. I know God brought us through the Red Sea and brought us out of Egypt, and we find ourselves in the wilderness and he's leading us. Listen, not only is he giving us food and giving us water and taking care of our clothes, but there's a cloud of pillar by day that leads us and a cloud of fire by night that leads us the way that we have to go. But in spite of seeing all the blessings that God has, listen, the blessings that God was giving to them today and in the future, they said, man, Egypt looked good. We had cucumbers in Egypt. Y'all remember when you go back in Genesis, go ahead and Exodus, read it. They say, we had leeks and we had melons and we had cucumbers. Man, we had all this good stuff back in Egypt. And they forgot, y'all were slaves in Egypt. That y'all were getting beat in Egypt. That your family members were probably dying and the Egyptians were treating y'all bad. And you had to rely on them for the things that you need. And God's out here giving you everything that you need. And the place where you find yourself today, you're looking in the past. Pastor Dwayne, as he got the sermon, the series together, he said this, you're looking with rose-colored glasses. Never really understood. I mean, I kind of understood what it meant, but after like doing some research and really looking at it, it's like they're putting on glasses to make the past look like it was okay. Yeah, we were slaves back then, but we had the cucumbers. Yeah, we were slaves back then, but we weren't walking in this wilderness. Listen, this is really what they were saying. This is going to be a slap to all of us. Yes, we were back then. We were in a bad state back then, but we didn't have to trust God back then. That back then, the Pharaoh and the Egyptians gave us the things that we need, and all was well, and we didn't know if we were going to eat, but we know we were going to eat. Out here, we have to trust God to bring this manna from heaven. We have to trust God to bring this water out of the rock. I got to trust God that these clothes and this shirt and my shoes not going to wear out. And every day, God kept providing for them, day after day after day, and they kept looking in the past. And the people of God right here, they're standing and they're looking at the ruins of the temple, the second temple, and they're thinking about Solomon's great temple that he built and how great it was. And it's kind of sarcastic. It's like he's saying, does it not seem to you like nothing? Because that's what they're saying. What we're doing right now is nothing. It doesn't matter what we're doing right now because Solomon's temple was so much better. And again, whenever you're looking back at what you had in the past, you can't enjoy the blessings of today. Whenever you're focused on back there and what happened back then God's trying to work and do things in your life right now that you can't fully comprehend, you can't fully grasp right now because I'm focusing on the past. And the people of God, they were thinking, oh, that temple was so much glorious. That temple right there was so much, Solomon's temple was so much better. And they had everything they needed back then. And God's going to show them like, no, everything you need, I'm giving to you right now. Give us this day our daily bread. Today we need to pray that God will provide. And the Bible said, if he provides for the birds of the air, if he provides for the lilies of the field, won't he take care of us? Won't he take care of us and give us the things that we need each and every day? And if you're like me, you can look back on your life around Hurricane Ida, or let's go back to the pandemic, or let's go all the way back to Hurricane Katrina. Those of us that were here in New Orleans, didn't God provide what we needed? And we're here today because God is faithful to take care of his children. But we can't live in the past. We can't be like, oh, you know, Hurricane Katrina, let me use myself for example. Oh, Hurricane Katrina, I had a two-story house on the West Bank, and I had three cars, and all was well, and I was working at the hospital, and I had a big salary being a doctor and all that other stuff. And if I'm thinking about 2005 and all of that stuff I have back then, I'm not going to enjoy 2023. There's no way I'm going to be able to enjoy the blessings of the Lord if I find myself in the past. And that's what the people of God, that's where they find themselves, where they're looking back there. And God is telling them greater glory is on the way. He's telling them this as we go to the third part. Don't forget that God is with you. Look, he says, be strong, Zerubbabel. He repeats it. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, people of the land. And look what he tells them. Get back to work. Get back. I've called you to do something. If you don't know, you're not just here by chance. I'm not talking about here at Level Ground. I'm talking about here on this earth. That the reason why God has left each one of us as his children here on earth is because he has something for us to do on our jobs, in the community, with our families, where at the Southern Baptist Convention. Why are you guys here? You're here because God has something for you to do, not to just exist or just to be around, but he wants us to actually glorify him. He wants us to get to work. And he tells them, get to work. And here's the good thing about getting back to work. He tells them, I'm with you. He told them in chapter 1, Pastor Dwayne said it last week, he said, I'm with you, and they had that initial encouragement. So he comes to them in chapter 2, and he tells them again, I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty, and this is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains among you. He tells them, do not fear. I'm sorry, Pastor Dwayne, I keep on pulling on you, bro, and stuff you said, but a couple of months ago, Pastor Dwayne told us that we need to talk to ourselves. Y'all remember that in one of his sermons, he said that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's kind of crazy to talk to yourself. People might think you have a mental disorder when you talk to yourself. But sometimes you have to talk to yourself and say, do not fear. When you find yourself in that situation and the enemy's bringing all kind of what ifs in your mind. What if this happened? What if the situation turns this way? What if the exam comes back this way? The doctor's report comes back this way. And if you keep on hearing that, that gets on the inside of you. You have to tell yourself, the Lord told me, do not fear. That the word of God said, do not be afraid. God's spirit remains on the inside of me. And that's what I'm going to hold on to. Because listen, the people of God, they should have said this. When we were in Egypt, God was there. And when we was walking across the Red Sea and those walls of water were being held back, God was there. We got in the wilderness and we didn't have any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron spoke to the rock, and then he struck the rock. If you guys go back and see, the reason why Moses couldn't go into the promised land, because God told him, okay, speak to the rock again. And Moses was like, you rebels, you disobedient bunch of, insert your word there for the people of God. I'm sure Moses was very upset with the people that what was going on at that time, and he got so frustrated, listen, that he disobeyed God and didn't speak to the rock, but he struck the rock. And in striking the rock in his fit of anger, he was not allowed to enter the promised land. But in that situation as well, God was present with his people and God was taking care of them. Just like he told them in chapter 1, I'm with you. The same thing he tells them in chapter 2. This reference to being strong, it reminds me, if you go to the book of Joshua and Moses, so Moses strikes the rock, and God said, you can't go into the promised land, and you get out of the book of Deuteronomy, and then when you go a little bit further, and you get in the beginning of Judges, over and over, God tells Joshua, be strong. Be strong. Be of good courage. I'm with you wherever you go. Meditate on my law. I am with you. And he's telling the people of God the same thing. Be strong. I'm with you. Do not fear. We have to remember that God is with us. We get to verse 5, and then you go down to verse 6, and verse 6 and 7, and moving forward, understand that God will, again, God will fulfill his promises. He tells them, this is what the Lord Almighty says, in a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. You look at this little phrase, what is desired by all nations? What is that all about? And in doing research and looking back at the different commentaries, and there were some that were way off in saying what they thought the desire of the nations. I'm going to just tell you this. The thing that all the nations need right now is Jesus. The problem and the thing that people are searching for as they look for fulfillment in their life, or they look for fulfillment in their job, or they look for fulfillment from social media or from people that are going to affirm them, and they don't understand that if my identity, that's why we sang that song today, if my identity is in God, I am who you say I am, if we hold on to that and we want Jesus more than anything, if that's our desire, then we're going to be okay. And all the nations, what is desired by all nations will come. God says this, I will fill this house with glory. And that's going to make, listen, that's going to make this temple that you think is nothing way better than that first temple. Because God is saying that I'm going to do a new thing in this temple. This is going to be better than the last one. Listen, the commentators and the theologians, as they look at this, they say that this temple eventually did end up being better. Because think about this. In this temple, Jesus eventually preached. And in this temple, when Herod came to power, he actually remodeled this little rinky-dink temple that nobody really thought anything about and made it way bigger and better than Solomon's temple was. And in an attempt to possibly fulfill this prophecy saying that he would be the one to bring glory back to the temple, but it's not about Herod, it's about Jesus. And the fact that Jesus would find himself preaching in this temple, that would make this temple better than the first one. And this would be a temple. Look, the Bible says it. The word of God says it. It's going to be for all nations, for all people. that we talked about it, my brothers that are here for the convention, we talked about it earlier on how there's so much division that's going on in different religions, and I mentioned with politics, and there are so many factions in our world where there's division, and people are all over the place with different opinions or different comments about different things, and the thing as followers of Christ, we have to keep remember that if we could just get them to see that if I get Jesus, I got everything I need. If I could just grasp on to Jesus, that everything's gonna work out in my life. If I can just hold on to this hope of being in heaven one day with the Lord Almighty and actually spending eternity with Him one day, if I settle that right now, that means no matter what happens in my life, I'm gonna be okay. That if my focus is on the fact that one day I'm going to be with Jesus and that my brothers and sisters are going to be with me and I want all nations to be with me as well, that means that everything in my life is going to work out according to God's plan, and He's going to give me peace in the midst of it, and I'm going to be able to glorify Him with my life and prayerfully bring other people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ because I'm obeying Him. And that should be our heart's desire. Is yes, it's good to accelerate on or to get promoted on your job. Yes, it's good to do well and to be a good member of society and to promote justice issues and all that other thing. But the thing we need to be more burdened about and more concerned about anything else is this: is my brother and sister going to spend eternity with me, or they're not going to be with me because they never accepted Jesus as their Savior? Make it more plain. Is my brother, or are they going to be with me in heaven, or are they going to be separated in hell because they didn't get Jesus into their life? And that is something that should weigh us down every day and make us say, like, Lord, use me as a vessel to minister who you are. Because when you think about eternity, that's the most important thing. Where are people going to spend eternity? Where are they going to spend the rest of their lives, with the Lord or without the Lord? And if we know that, if I know that my best friend is outside of God's grace and they have no intention of accepting Jesus as their Savior, I need to pray and be like, Lord, give me wisdom, give me insight, give me an open door of opportunity to share with them who you are, because I love this person here on earth and I want to love them forever in eternity. That was not in my notes. I'm sorry. I got on a tangent about eternity. But the desire of all nations is Jesus Christ. And He fulfills His promise. He says He's going to fill this house with glory. Last thing, last point, and then we're going home. For those of you that are wondering, will the Lord be able to do? Let me not even say that. Wondering, how am I going to make it to the end of the week? How am I going to make it to the end of the summer? How am I going to make it to the end of 23? What's in store for me for the future? You have to keep telling yourself, God will provide. God sends this word through His prophet, and He says this: the silver, that's mine. The gold, that's mine, declares the Lord Almighty. Understand that as they were comparing this temple to Solomon's temple, again, what they were doing was they were looking at the finances and they were looking at where they were and comparing it to what happened before. And he's like, we don't have enough to make this happen. And God was saying, this is not about you. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. Listen, as believers, I hope you understand this. Your finances are not yours. That your finances are the Lord. The reason why God's given me a job that I can go to and get money so that I can give back to Him is because of the Lord. And so God says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, I will provide, don't worry about it. And He's telling this to His people. He's saying, the glory, again, of this present house will be greater than the glory of the of Solomon's house, says the Lord Almighty. Here's the good part. And in that place, I'm giving peace. You're worried about these opposers. You're worried about these attacks. You're worried if this temple is going to be better than the other ones. You wonder if you're going to go into captivity again. You're wondering, listen, 2023, you're wondering what your life looks like in the future, and you're stressed out and you're anxious about what the future holds and all that. And God's saying this: if you trust me, I will grant you peace. That in this place, in this situation where I say the silver is mine, the gold is mine, I'm going to provide what you need. Not only am I going to provide what you need materially and in a physical state, emotionally, I'm going to give you peace. And this peace is priceless. Well, that MasterCard back in the day where they say blah, 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 priceless. I don't even remember how the commercial went, but I remember it was MasterCard. And they talk about all this stuff and all this stuff is priceless. But really, God's peace is priceless. You can't buy God's peace. There's no amount of money that you have that you can give to a doctor or that you can give to anybody that can grant you peace. It only comes from God himself granting us peace, and I'd rather have God's peace to keep me in the midst of what I go through. Listen, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Psalm 23, David say, like, I got giants trying to kill me, I got Saul trying to kill me, eventually it's my sons that's trying to kill me, or people trying to take me off the throne. And he said, though I walk through, not go around the valley, as I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear. That's a peace that you can have no matter what's going on. You lose a loved one, you lose a job, things don't work out with your family, no matter what happened. And you could say, like, God, give me your peace so I can get through this situation. And in the midst of getting through this situation, glorify you as well. God says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, this glory is going to be way better than before, and I'm going to grant you peace. Go to the next slide, Pastor Duane. Greater is on the way. And so this book of Haggai is unique because some of the books in the Old Testament, the people didn't listen to God. Or you think about, I mentioned Jonah and Nineveh before, and the end of Jonah, you wonder, like, what did Jonah do? The book of Jonah ends, and Jonah's sitting there having a pity party. You get to the end of Jonah, and God say, Jonah, do you have the right to complain about what I've done when I've saved all of these people? And then it just ends. And you're like, what happened? Did Jonah obey? I don't know. Obviously, the people of Nineveh obeyed initially, but then when you go to another minor prophet in Nahum, you see where they eventually went into disobedience, and they didn't listen, and they were destroyed, and God did all of this to them. But Haggai is different because the people actually listened to God and the temple was rebuilt. And God told them to rebuild this temple. 15 years they stopped, came back, a month they stopped, did it again, and now they've built this temple. And so the temple was finished, and that's all good for the people of God back then. But here's my question, what about us? Pastor Taylor, what do you mean, what about us? What is God prompting each of us to do? And maybe it's been 15 years and we haven't done it. Or maybe it was last month God told us to do something and we still haven't done it. Maybe it's something that God put in our hearts as a youngster and now we're 45 years old and we still haven't done it. Because it's all good to look at Haggai and say, like, praise God, the temple was rebuilt and all that good stuff, the people of God listened. But as we apply it to our lives today, we have to ask ourselves, what is God trying to show me in Haggai? This is what he's trying to show us. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. Listen to this, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if anyone builds on this foundation using gold or silver or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, capital D, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Look at this. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? The God Spirit lives in each one of us. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred. Did you know that you're sacred? And you together are that temple. We're not talking about Solomon's temple anymore. We're not talking about Herod's temple. We're not talking about Haggai and the temple that they built back then. All of that was a physical representation of a dwelling place for God's presence. But today, we're the temple. That God's calling us to work on the temple. I told you to do so. I told you to do this, to work on this temple that holds my Holy Spirit on the inside. And as temples of God, as temples, look at what Jesus said. He came to his disciples in John 14. Jesus said some outlandish stuff. He came to his disciples in John chapter 14, and he starts it out. He said, you know, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, many mansions, many dwelling places. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you. Eventually, they talk about, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You get further down into John 14, and he tells his disciples, and greater works you're going to do. I'm sure the disciples were sitting there like, well, this dude just walked on water. And this dude, Jesus, just raised somebody from the dead. And this dude named Jesus just fed all of these people when they was about to stone us with two fish and five loaves of bread. And he talking about greater works we gonna do? Let me ask you guys that. Do you guys believe the word of God? Level ground. Do y'all believe what Jesus told his disciples back then? Look, nobody said yes. I see people kind of like, I don't know where Pastor Taylor's going with this one, but I'm just gonna nod my head and not say it. Jesus told his disciples, greater works y'all are going to do because y'all are the temples that are going to be going all over the place with the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you. And so you'll be able to do these greater things because you're going to be able to spread out all over the world because I'm going to my Father. See, I'm going to the Father. The Holy Spirit is going to come and be on the inside of all of you. And as temples of God, these greater works that we're doing is in each of our lives. That as Miss Evelyn's in the community, and as JT and Jackie are at the seminary, as John and Donovan are serving at Jesus Project, as Jelly goes to help them at Jesus Project, as Miss Francis is in the neighborhood, as my brothers that are come down for the convention, as you're at your church and in your community doing things, we're doing all of these works in all of these different places when Jesus was by himself. He did great things, but he can only do this and do that. And the extraordinary thing about Jesus was how he would do two things at one time. So the woman with the issue of blood comes, and I think it's Jairus' daughter is sick, and Jesus is healing one of blood, and the daughter gets up out of the deathbed. But he still said, greater works you're going to do. So yes, they rebuilt the temple in Haggai. Yes, they were able to accomplish what God told them to do. The thing that I want all of us to pray and ask God is this: God, how do you want me to work on this temple? On this temple that you've given me. And listen, not only for right now, but what does it look like in the future, this temple that you have given? And your spirit that lives on the inside of me, because I want to see greater works done for you. I want to see God glorified in my life. I want to see other temples of God come about, and God will do that. Listen, but we got to obey him. We have to make sure that we're listening for his voice. We have to make sure we're getting into his word. We have to make sure that we're in fellowship with fellow believers. We have to make sure that we're not isolating ourselves, because when we isolate ourselves, that's when the enemy speaks to us, and he says that, he says, greater works? Taylor, greater works you're going to do? Pastor Taylor, greater works you're going to do? And if you're not in fellowship, if you're not fully convinced that, oh, yeah, God is with me, that those voices from the enemy will start to speak to you and put doubt in your brain. And it's like, no, I'm not going to believe what the enemy says. The other Pastor Taylor told me God is with me. That as y'all preach the word and continue spreading the gospel at your church, God is with you. And that's for all of us today. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are the temples that God wants to perfect and that God wants us to work upon. And then greater works we're going to be able to do. Amen. It's great to rejoice about the people of God accomplishing this and doing what God told them to do. But listen, I don't want to rejoice in what other people have done and not do what God's told me to do. I don't want to be, oh, David, great David, oh, great the apostles, oh, great men of the faith, even nowadays, Billy Graham and brother Charles Stanley, pastor that just passed away, and all of these great men of the faith that are doing things, and I'm sitting in disobedience. No, it's not going to be. Work on these temples that God has given to us. And if you don't know what God's called you to do, ask him. That's what prayer is about. That's why we have a communication open line with the Lord where we can talk with him about what he wants us to do and what he wants us to be. Greater is on the way, amen? That no matter where you find yourself or what mistakes you've made in the past, greater is on the way if I'm following the will of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for today. And God, our focus for greater is not pertaining to this world. God, we want you to be glorified in our lives. So God, for each and every person in this place today, from pastors to lay leaders, God, from teachers, God, to administrators, God, everyone listening to this message, God, all of us, you're going to do greater in our lives as we line up with your will and your way. So God, I pray for each one today. God, my brothers and sisters that are hearing this, myself, God, as we've heard your word, God, give us faith to believe what you said. God, in areas where we're doubting, God, we pray for your strength. God, we pray that you will give us what we need to walk out this calling that you've called us to do. God, we praise you on this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen.